Jumped into the stool beside Bryce, stretching out her long legs. Another year of waiting in the wings for her chance to shine. So, who got your shot at Marceline? The group of principals and veteran soloists rotated through the main roles each night.
Corrine,
Juniper said a shade too neutrally. Bryce scoffed. You're 20 times the dancer she is. June laughed softly.
No way.
Way, Fury added. Come on, Bryce said, elbowing Juniper. No need to be humble. June shrugged, then smiled at the barista as she handed over a green tea in a to-go cup.
Okay, maybe twice the dancer she is,
Fury said. There's my girl. She nodded her thanks to the barista as her own drink was deposited in a ceramic mug. Juniper pulled off the lid of her to-go cup and blew on the steaming hot brew inside. Bryce asked, Did you give any thought to that offer from the Heprin Company?
Yeah,
June murmured. Fury suddenly became very interested in her drink. And? Bryce pushed.
They're practically crawling to have you as principal, and so were about three other smaller dance companies in the city. They're great, June said quietly. But there's still a step down.
Bryce nodded. She got it. She really did. For a dancer in Valbara, CCB was the pinnacle, the distant star to aspire to. And June had been so close, close enough to touch that glimmer of principal dancer. Now she was in free fall.
I want to hold out for another year,
June said, putting the lid on her tea and standing.
Just to see if things change.
Pain gleamed in her friend's large, beautiful eyes. They will, Bryce assured her, because hope was the only thing she could offer at the moment.
Thanks, Juniper said. I'm off. I'll see you at home later,
she said to Fury, leaning in to kiss her swiftly. When she made to step away, however, Fury put a hand on her cheek, keeping her there, deepened the kiss for a few heartbeats. Then Fury pulled back, holding her girlfriend's stare, and said, See you at home. Sensual promise laced every word. Juniper was more than a bit breathless, her cheeks flushing as she turned to Bryce and kissed her cheek.
Bye, Bee,
she said, then was gone into the sun and dust. Bryce glanced sidelong at Fury. You've got it bad, huh? Fury snorted. You have no idea. How was date night? Bryce asked, waggling her eyebrows. Fury Axtar sipped delicately from her tea. Exquisite. Pleasure and happiness quietly radiated from her friend, and Bryce smiled. What are you drinking? Chai with almond milk. It's good. Spicy. You've never been here? Do I look like the kind of person who goes to tea bars? Yes? Fury laughed, her dark hair swaying. She wore her usual head-to-toe black, despite the heat. Fair enough. So, what's this urgent thing you need to talk to me about? Bryce waited until she'd ordered her matcha latte with oat milk before murmuring, It's about Danica. She and Hunt might need to talk things over regarding a meal, but speaking about this with Fury wasn't a step toward anything, necessarily. She could learn the truth without being dragged into Ophion's orbit, right? At this hour, only the barista and one other patron occupied the bar. The street was empty save for a few cats picking through piles of trash, safe enough to talk without being overheard. Fury kept her posture casual, uninterested. Does it have to do with Ethan staying with you? How did you even hear about that? Fury smiled smugly, but Bryce shook her head. Never mind. But no, that's separate.
He always had a thing for you, you know.
Ethan had a thing for Natalie.
Sure.
Whatever. How to phrase any of this? You knew about Danica and the synth stuff. I was wondering if there was anything else you might have been keeping secret for her. Fury sipped her chai. Care to explain more? Bryce made a face.
That wasn't really a request,
Fury said,
her voice lethally soft. Bryce swallowed, and so quietly only Fury could hear. She told her about Sophie Renast and Therion and the River Queen and the hunt to find Emile and all the power he possessed, about the abandoned boat in the marshes and Ophion hunting for the boy as well, about the potential meetup location that Danica had hinted at 3 years ago, and the vague mentions of Project Thur and Dusk's truth in those emails between Danica and Sophie. When she'd finished, Fury drained her drink and said, I'm gonna need something a lot stronger than chai. I've been reeling since Therion told me, Bryce admitted, voice still low. But Danica and Sophie definitely knew each other. Well enough for Sophie to trust Danica to find her a potential place to hide, should she ever need one. Fury drummed her fingers on the counter. I believe you, but Danica never hinted at involvement with the rebels, and I never picked it up on my usual channels. Bryce nearly sagged with relief. Maybe it hadn't gone too far then. Maybe their acquaintance hadn't been related to Ophion at all. Do you think the meeting location is the Bone Quarter? She prayed it wasn't. Danica wouldn't have sent a kid there, even with Thunderbird power in his veins. And she wouldn't be so stupid as to make it that obvious. Bryce frowned. Yeah, true. As for Dusk's truth and Project Thur, Fury shrugged. No idea. But Danica was always interested in weird random shit. She could spend hours getting sucked into an interweb research hole. Bryce smiled slightly. Also true. But do you think Danica might have been keeping anything else a secret? Fury seemed to consider, then said, The only other secret I knew about Danica was that she was a bloodhound. Bryce straightened. A what? Fury signaled the barista for another chai. A bloodhound. She could scent bloodlines, the secrets in them. I knew Danica had an intense sense of smell, Bryce acknowledged, but I didn't realize it was that. She trailed off, memory surfacing. When she came home with me over winter break freshman year, she could pick out the family ties of everyone in Nidaros. I thought it was a wolf thing. It's special? I only know about it because she confronted me when we first met. She scented me and wanted to understand. Fury's eyes darkened. We sorted our shit out, but Danica knew something dangerous about me, and I knew something dangerous about her. It was as much as Fury had ever said about being whatever she was. Why is it dangerous to be a bloodhound? Because people will pay highly to use the gift and to kill anyone with it. Imagine being able to tell someone's true lineage, especially if that person is a politician or some royal whose parentage is in question. Apparently, the gift came from her sire's line. Maybe that was another reason why Danica hadn't wanted to mention it. She'd never discussed the male who'd been ballsy enough to fuck Sabine. Bryce asked, You never thought to tell me this during the investigation?
It didn't seem relevant. It was only one of Danica's many powers.
Bryce lifted a hand to rub at her eyes, then halted, remembering her makeup. What are the odds that Sophie knew that?
No idea, Fury said. Slim, probably.
Then she asked carefully,
You sure you want to start digging into this? Go after that kid.
It's not only for Emile's sake, Bryce confessed. I want to know what Danica was up to. I feel like she was always 2 steps, more like 10 steps ahead. I want to know the full scope of it.
She's dead, Bryce. Knowing or not knowing won't change that.
Bryce cringed at her friend's harsh words. I know, but if Danica was tied up with Ophion, with Sophie, I want to find Sophie if she's alive. Learn whatever it is that Sophie knew about Danica and how they were even in contact, whether Danica was truly aligned with Ophion.
You're tangling in some dangerous shit.
Hunt said the same thing. And you're both right. Maybe that makes me stupid for not walking away. But setting aside the fact that Emil is a kid being chased by some intense people, if I can locate him for Therion, he'll lead me to Sophie or the information about her, and her answers about Danica. Fury saluted her thanks to the barista and sipped her second chai.
And what will you do once you learn the truth?
Bryce chewed on her lip.
Pray to Cathona that I can accept it, I guess.
Chapter 14. Hunt crossed his arms, trying to focus on the unit sparring in one of the Comitium's rooftop training areas, and not the scorching heat threatening to singe his wings. Beside him, Isaiah also sweated away, dark eyes fixed on a pair of fighting soldiers. The female was faster and cleverer than the male she faced, but the male had 100 pounds on her. Each of his blows must have felt like being hit by a semi-truck.
My money's on the male,
Isaiah murmured.
So's mine. She's too green to hold out much longer.
Hunt wiped the sweat from his brow, grateful he'd cut his hair shorter before the heat had set in. Solas was slow roasting them over a pit of coals. Thank fuck he'd changed in the barracks to shorts and a t-shirt.
Won't really matter in the long run, Isaiah said, as the male landed a blow to her jaw with the pommel of his sword. Blood sprayed from her mouth. Not if we head into war.
The great equalizer. Hunt said nothing. He'd barely slept last night, hadn't been able to calm the thoughts that circled over and over. He'd wanted to talk to Bryce, but that acid in his veins had surged every time he'd gotten close and dissolved all his words. Even this morning, all he'd been able to say was that they needed to talk. But Bryce being Bryce, she'd seen all of that, knew what haunted him, and held his hand as she said yes. He checked his phone, only an hour until Therion would show up at the apartment to discuss things. Great.
You think we'll wind up back there? Isaiah went on, face distant. On those battlefields?
Hunt knew which ones he meant, though they'd fought on many. Sandriel had sent both him and Isaiah to slaughter human rebels decades ago, when Ophion had initially formed.
I hope not,
Hunt said, blocking out the images of those muddy massacres. The mech suits smoldering with their pilots bleeding out inside them. Heaps of broken wings piled high to the skies. Some shifters going feral and feasting on the carrion alongside the crows. He looked over at Isaiah. What would his friend say if he knew about Therion? Isaiah's words from their last argument in Shahar's war tent still rang in his ears.
This is folly, Athalar. We fly into slaughter. We have no allies, no route of retreat. You two are going to kill us all.
Hunt had ordered his friend out, had curled up alongside Shahar, who'd listened to their argument from her bed behind the curtain of the tent. She'd promised him that Isaiah was wrong, that he was merely afraid, and Hunt had believed her, because he was also afraid, he realized later. He'd believed her, and they'd fucked like animals, and a few hours after dawn, she was dead. Hunt shook the memories of the past away and focused on the fight in front of him. The female ducked and slammed her fist into the male's gut. He went down like a sack of flour, and Hunt chuckled, memories and dread shaking loose.
A pleasant surprise,
he said, turning his attention to the other soldiers paired off throughout the space. Sweat gleamed on bare skin, wings white and black and brown and gray rustled, and blood shone on more than a few faces. Naomi was in the skies training a unit in dive-bombing maneuvers. It was an effort not to glance to the far ring, where Pollux and Baxian oversaw a unit practicing their shooting. The latter was currently in his large canine form, his coat a slick black. It felt wrong to have those two pieces of shit here, instead of Vic and Justinian. So wrong that he did look at them after all, sized up the hellhound's animal form.
He'd seen Baxian rip limbs from opponents with those jaws and move as fast on land as he did in his Malak form. As if sensing his attention, Baxian turned his head. His dark eyes gleamed. Hunt bristled at the blatant challenge in Baxian's gaze. It didn't lessen when Baxian shifted in a flash of light, a few angels nearby startling at the return of his humanoid form. Isaiah murmured, "Relax," as Baxian said something to Pollux before stalking for them. Baxian stood nearly as tall as Hunt, and despite the sweltering heat, he still wore head-to-toe black that matched his wings and his hellhound pelt.
"I thought you were doing something far more interesting here in Valbara, Athalar. I'm surprised you haven't dropped dead from boredom."
Isaiah took that as a cue to check on the male who'd fallen, winking at Hunt as he left. Traitor.
"Some of us crave a normal life, you know," Hunt said to Baxian.
Baxian snickered.
"All those battles, all that glory you won for yourself, all that lightning in your veins, and you simply want a 9-to-5 job."
He tapped the scar on his neck.
"The male who gave me this would be horrified." "The male who gave you that,"
Hunt said through his teeth,
"always wanted peace. Didn't seem like it when your lightning flayed me. You handed over that rebel family to Sandriel without a second thought. I'd say you had it coming."
Baxian laughed, low and lifeless. The hot, dry breeze rustled his black wings.
"You were always a literal sort of bastard. Couldn't read between the lines." "What the fuck does that mean?"
Hunt's power flared at his fingertips. Baxian shrugged.
"I might not have been a slave as you are. Were?"
A nod toward his clear brow.
"But I had as little choice in serving Sandriel as you did. Only I didn't make my displeasure known." "Bullshit. You served her gladly. You don't get to rewrite your own history now that you're here."
Baxian's wings rustled.
"You never asked me why I was in her triari, you know? Not once in all those decades. You're like that with everyone, Athalar. Surface level. Fuck off. Go back to your work." "This is my work. The governor just messaged me and told me to team up with you."
Hunt's stomach turned. Did Celestina somehow know about Therian asking for help, finding that Thunderbird kid? What better way to monitor him than to shackle him to the Hellhound?
"Hell no,"
he said. Baxian's mouth curled upward as he nodded toward Pollux.
"I've been stuck with that prick for 100 years. It's someone else's turn to deal with him."
He pointed to Naomi. Was it selfish to be glad he didn't have to deal with the hammer?
"Why not tell us during the meeting earlier? I think she's been watching us this morning."
Baxian inclined his head to the cameras.
"Likely didn't want to alter our behavior before deciding who to pair up." "To what end?"
As if in answer, Hunt's phone buzzed. He pulled it from his shorts to find a message from Celestina.
"As Isaiah will be escorting me around the city to meet its various leaders, I am relying on you and Naomi to help our 2 new arrivals adjust. I'd like you to partner with Baxian, show him the ropes, not just the ins and outs of the 33rd, but also how this city operates. Ease him into life in Valbara."
Hunt considered, even as he inwardly groaned. He was acutely aware of those cameras. The Archangel might be observing his every expression.
"She put Naomi in charge of helping Pollux adjust."
Across the ring, Isaiah was now checking his phone, frowning deeply. He glanced to Hunt, face lit with alarm. Not at the honor of escorting the governor, Hunt knew. Hunt turned back to Baxian, who'd no doubt gleaned that Hunt had all the orders he needed.
"There's no way Pollux will allow anyone to show him the ropes."
Baxian shrugged.
"Let Pollux dig his own grave here. He's too pissed about being separated from the Hind to understand his new reality. I didn't realize the hammer was capable of caring for anyone like that." "He isn't," He just likes to have control over his belongings. The Hind belongs to no one.
Hunt hadn't known Lydia Servos well. Their time had only briefly overlapped when he'd served Sandriel, and the Hind had spent most of it off on missions for the Asteri, rented out like some sort of field worker to do their spy hunting and rebel breaking. Whenever Lydia had been at Sandriel's castle, she'd either been in secret meetings with the Archangel or fucking Pollux in whatever room they felt like using. Thank the gods the Hind hadn't come here, or the Harpy.
But if Emile Renast was heading for this city?
Hunt asked.
The Hind's really not coming to Lunathian.
No. Pollux got a call from her this morning. He's been moody ever since. Mordok finally making his move.
The head of the Hind's Dreadwolves was as formidable as his mistress.
Baxian snorted.
He's not Lydia's type, and doesn't have the balls to go head to head with Pollux.
Did Mordok go with her to Ephraim?
He had to step carefully.
Yeah, Baxian said, attention on Pollux. They're all in Forvos right now. Ephraim's been keeping them close for the last few weeks. It's pissed off the Hind. The Harpy's even madder.
So the Hind wasn't in pursuit of Emile. At least, not at present. Which left the Ophian agents as the main danger to the boy, he supposed. He made a mental note to tell Therian when he saw him later and said,
I thought you and the Harpy were a pair. You don't seem too hung up on not seeing her.
Baxian let out another one of those low laughs that skittered over Hunt's bones.
She and Pollux would be a better pair than him and Lydia.
Lydia? Hunt had never heard Baxian use the Hind's given name, but he'd used it twice now.
She'll make Ephraim miserable,
Baxian went on, smiling to himself.
Too bad I can't see it.
Hunt almost pitied Ephraim for inheriting the Harpy.
And the Hawk? Doing what he does best, trying to outdo Pollux in cruelty and brutality.
The Hawkshifter had long been Pollux's main rival for power. Hunt had steered clear of him for decades. So had Baxian, he realized. He'd never seen them interact.
You're a free male,
Hunt said carefully.
Sandriel's gone. Why keep serving at all?
Baxian ran a hand over his closely buzzed hair.
I could ask the same question of you. I need the money.
Is that so?
Baxian clicked his tongue.
Bryce Quinlan's an expensive girlfriend, I take it. Princesses like pretty things.
Hunt knew better than to deny that Bryce was his girlfriend, not if it had opened a door for Baxian to taunt him.
Exactly.
Baxian continued.
I like her. She's got balls.
Isaiah shouted Hunt's name from across the space, and Hunt nearly sagged with relief to have an excuse to get out of this conversation.
Here's the first rule of getting adjusted. Don't fucking talk to me unless I talk to you.
As Isaiah's second, he outranked Baxian. Baxian's eyes flared, as if realizing it.
I'm taking this assignment seriously, you know.
Hunt gave him a savage grin.
Oh, I know.
If he had to help Baxian adjust, he'd happily drag him into the current century, hopefully kicking and screaming.
So am I.
Baxian had the good sense to look a little nervous. Therian wanted to own Bryce Quinlan's apartment, badly. But he sure as shit didn't make enough to afford it, and the sun would shine in hell before the River Queen allowed him to live above. The thought had him scowling as he knocked on the apartment door. The lock clicked, and Ethan Holstrom peered out from the doorway, brows high.
Bryce isn't back yet. She already told me.
Therian held up his phone, displaying the brief exchange with the Fae Princess from a few minutes ago.
I'm at your apartment, and ready to go through your underwear drawer.
She'd written back immediately. You're early. I'll be there in 10. Don't leave drool stains on the lace ones, or worse.
No promises,
he'd answered, and she'd replied, just spare the pink bra, please. To Therian's surprise, Ethan checked that the number under her contact info was indeed Bryce's. Smart kid. Ethan's jaw worked before he said, I thought she was involved with Athalar.
Oh, she is, Therian said, pocketing his phone. But Legs and I have an understanding when it comes to her underwear.
He stepped forward, a blatant demand to be let in. Ethan stiffened, teeth flashing. Pure wolf. But the male opened the door wider, stepping aside. Therian kept a healthy distance away as he entered. How many sunball games had Therian watched where this male had scored the winning shot? How many times had he yelled at his TV, ordering Ethan to throw that fucking ball? It was weird to see him face to face, to go toe to toe with him. Therian plopped onto the ridiculously comfortable white couch, sinking deep into the cushions. It occurred to me after I left last night that you didn't say much about Danica. Ethan leaned against the counter. What do you mean? Therian smirked.
You might be a jock, but you're not dumb.
I mean about what I told Bryce last night. Why would Danica tell me anything about knowing a rebel?
You were pretty damn close with her.
She was my alpha.
You weren't part of the pack of devils.
No, but I would have been. Therian towed off his shoes and propped his bare feet on the coffee table. Sports news blared on the TV.
Weren't you all set to go pro?
Ethan's face tightened.
That's none of your business.
Right. I'm just Captain Whatever. Therian gave him a salute.
But if you knew about any involvement Danica had, if there was a place Danica might have told Sophie was safe for hiding here in the city, that sounds like it might be where the weary souls find relief. Or even if your brother...
Don't talk about my brother. Ethan's snarl rattled the glasses in the kitchen cabinets.
Therian held up his hands. Noted. So, you don't know anything.
We didn't talk about the rebellion, or the war, or anything of the sort.
A muscle ticked in Ethan's jaw.
I don't appreciate being dragged into this, or having Bryce dragged into it either. You're endangering her simply by mentioning it. Hunting for a missing kid is one thing, but the shit with Ophion is deadly.
Therian gave the male a winning smile. I have my orders, and I'm bound to obey them.
You're an idiot if you don't see the risk in spreading this intel about your queen searching for a meal.
Maybe, but what she'll do to me if I disobey will be a hell of a lot worse than what Sabine and Amelie did to you. Another grin. And I won't have pretty Bryce to kiss my wounds after.
Ethan snarled again. Did the wolf have any idea what he revealed with that snarl alone? He'd been such a smart sunball player, never broadcasting his moves. Seemed like he'd lost the skill. But Therian went on. Danica did a lot of shady shit before she died. Bryce knows that. You're not protecting her by refusing to talk. Therian eased to his feet, then stalked for the fridge, keenly aware of the wolf's every breath. He'd opened the door to rummage for snacks when Ethan said,
She was a history major.
Therian arched a brow.
Yeah?
Ethan shrugged.
She once told me she was doing research on something that would likely land her in a heap of trouble. But when I asked her later what she'd gotten on the paper, she said she'd changed subjects. I always thought it was weird.
Therian shut the fridge door and lounged against it.
Why? Because Danica was relentless. If she was interested in something, she didn't stop. I didn't really believe that she'd have changed the subject of her paper without good reason.
You think a college student found something top secret that led her to Ophion? Danica wasn't ever only a college student.
The same way you weren't ever just a college sunball player, huh?
Ethan ignored the barb.
You asked me about Danica. Aside from everything that went down with the synth, that's the only thing I can think of. Sorry if it's not what you hoped for.
Therian just looked at the male leaning against the counter. Alone.
Maybe he was a sappy bastard, but Therion pointed toward the TV. I missed the Sunball game against Corinth last night and want to see the highlights. Mind if I watch with you while we wait for the others? Ethan frowned, but Therion put a hand on his heart.
No secret spying stuff, I swear.
He sighed. I could use a few minutes of peace. Ethan weighed the words, Therion's expression, with a keen-eyed sharpness that the wolf had used on his opponents. Perhaps the Sunball player wasn't dead after all. But Ethan only said, There's leftover pizza if you're hungry.
Chapter 15 Rune met his sister outside the Fey Archives right as the lunchtime crowds spilled into the Warren of Streets in Five Roses. Amid the throng, few of the milling Fey noticed them, too focused on getting food or scrolling through their phones. Still, Bryce slid on a Sunball cap and a pair of sunglasses as she stepped onto the blisteringly hot street that even the trees and greenery of Fyro couldn't entirely cool.
I'm not wearing that getup, Rune said. Certainly not in Fey territory. People are going to figure out who you are pretty damn fast.
I can't take any more of the gawking.
Comes with the territory.
Bryce grumbled something Rune chose not to hear.
So Therion's back at the house? He asked, as they headed toward her apartment.
Yep, already grilling Ethan. Which was why she'd asked him to come as backup, a fact that gave him no small amount of satisfaction. They crossed a busy intersection teeming with Fey and shifters, the occasional Draki making their way past. Rune said,
I take it you didn't invite me to walk you home for some muscle in the mean streets of Crescent City.
He wryly nodded to the angels and witches soaring overhead, the little otter in his yellow vest scooting by, the family of some sort of equine shifters trotting between the cars.
She glared at him over her sunglasses.
I wanted to discuss something with you, and I don't trust the phone or messages.
Rune blew out a breath. I know the shit with Cormac is absurd.
It's not about Cormac. It's about Danica.
Danica?
I saw Fury this morning. She told me Danica was a bloodhound. Do you know what that is?
Yes, Rune said, surprise shooting through him. You're simply telling me this?
His sister waved a dismissive hand. Danica kept a lot of things from me, and I don't see the point in keeping secrets anymore.
It's okay to be pissed at her, you know.
Spare me the self-help lecture, okay?
Fair enough. He rubbed his jaw.
I guess this explains how Danica knew we were siblings before anyone else. He'd never forget running into Bryce and Danica at that frat party. His first time seeing his sister in years. And how Danica had stared at him, then looked at Bryce, brows high. He'd known in that moment that Danica had guessed what no one else had, even as Bryce introduced him as her cousin. He'd chalked it up to her uncanny observation skills.
I thought she was just good at scenting, Bryce said, fanning her face against the heat. Not a genius or whatever. Do you think this could have anything to do with her connection to Sophie?
It seems like a stretch. Danica was a powerful, influential Vanir, regardless of that gift. She could have been sought out by Sophie or Ophion for a host of other reasons.
I know. They fell silent until Bryce halted outside the glass doors of her apartment building. Maybe Sophie thought Danica could help free her brother from Kavala or something. It sounded like she was working on that for years before she was able to get to him. Maybe she imagined Danica had the influence.
Rune nodded. He couldn't begin to imagine what it had been like, for Emil to endure, and for Sophie to spend every moment of every day praying and working for his survival. That she hadn't given up, that she'd accomplished it. Rune had no words. Did Danica have that kind of sway, though? He asked.
Bryce shook her head. I mean, she might have been able to. But she never tried to do anything like that, as far as I know. And I don't see why Sophie would contact Danica, of all people, when Danica was here and Sophie was over in Pangera.
It doesn't add up.
Bryce flipped her ponytail over a shoulder and grunted her frustration.
I want to know what Sophie knew about Danica.
I get that, Rune said carefully. And I get why you want to find Emile, too. But I'll say this one more time, Bryce. If I were you, I'd stay out of whatever game Therion and the River Queen are playing in looking for the kid, especially if Ophion is on the hunt for Emile as well.
Bryce opened the door to her building, air conditioning smothering them like a frosty blanket, and waved to Marin. The Ursine shifter waved back from the front desk, and Rune offered a half-smile to the male before he stepped into the elevator after his sister. Rune waited until the doors had shut before he said softly, I know Athalar already said this to you last night, but the Asteri could kill you for even getting involved, even if it's something as seemingly harmless as finding this kid. Bryce idly wrapped the length of her ponytail around a wrist. They could have killed me this spring, but they didn't. I'm guessing they won't now. Rune toyed with his lip ring, tugging on the silver hoop as the elevator doors opened and they stepped out onto her floor. If they want you alive, I'd start wondering why that is. You have the horn in your back. That's no small thing. He couldn't help himself from glancing at his sister's back as he said it, eyeing the upper tendrils of the tattoo visible above her dress. You're a power player now, Bryce, whether you like it or not. And trust me, I get it. It sucks to want to be normal, but to have all this other shit that keeps you from being that way. His voice turned hoarse, and she looked over a shoulder at him, face neutral. But you're starborn, and you have the horn. And you have a lot of power thanks to the drop. The Bryce before this spring might have searched for Emile with few repercussions. But the Bryce who exists now? Any move you make will be politicized, analyzed, viewed as an act of aggression or rebellion or outright war. No matter what you say. Bryce sighed loudly, but her eyes had softened, either at what he'd said or what he'd admitted to her about his own life. I know, she said, before unlocking the front door to her apartment. They found Therion on the couch with Ethan, the TV blasting the latest sports stats. Therion munched on a piece of pizza, long legs sprawled out in front of him, bare feet on the coffee table. Rune might have stepped inside to grab a piece of that pizza, had Bryce not gone still. A fey sort of stillness, sizing up a threat. His every instinct went on high alert, bellowing at him to defend, to attack, to slaughter any threat to his family. Rune suppressed it, held back the shadows begging to be unleashed, to hide Bryce from sight. Ethan called over to them, Pizza's on the counter if you want some. Bryce remained silent as fear washed over her scent. Rune's fingers grazed the cool metal of the gun strapped to his thigh. Your cat's a sweetheart, by the way, Ethan went on, not taking his focus from the TV as he stroked the white cat curled on his lap. Bryce slowly shut the door behind her. He scared the shit out of me when he leapt onto the counter a few minutes ago. The bastard. The wolf ran his fingers through the luxurious coat, earning a deep purr in response. The cat had stunning blue eyes. They seemed keenly aware as they fixed on Bryce. Rune's shadows gathered at his shoulders, snakes ready to rise. He subtly drew his gun. Behind her, a familiar ripple of ether-laced power kissed over her skin. A small reassurance as Bryce croaked. That's not a cat. Hunt arrived at the apartment just in time to hear Bryce's words through the shut front door. He was inside in a moment, his lightning gathered at his fingers. Oh, calm yourself, the Prince of the Chasm said, leaping onto the coffee table. Swearing, Ethan lunged from the couch and jumped over it with preternatural grace. Therion went for a knife at his thigh, a wicked blade with a curved tip, designed to do its worst damage on the way out. But Adis said to Hunt, little fangs glinting, I thought we were friends, Orion. It's Hunt,
he gritted out, lightning skittering over his teeth, zapping his tongue. One move and he'd fry the prince, or try to. He didn't dare take his focus off Adis to check on Bryce's positioning. Rune would make sure she stayed back.
Regardless, Adis said, padding across the coffee table and jumping onto the carpet.
A glowing light filled the corner of Hunt's vision, and he found Rune standing on Bryce's other side, star sword in hand. But Bryce, damn her, walked forward. Hunt tried to block her, but she easily sidestepped him, her chin high as she said,
"Good to see you again, Adis."
Rune, Therian, and Ethan all seemed to inhale at once. Hunt hardly breathed as the cat trotted up to her and wended between her legs, brushing against her shins.
Hello, princess.
Hunt's blood chilled. The demon prince purred the word with such intent, such delight, like he had some sort of claim on her. Hunt's lightning flared. Adis trotted for the counter and jumped onto it in one graceful spring, then surveyed all of them. His blue gaze returned to Bryce at last.
Why don't you know how to use your powers yet?
Bryce rolled her shoulders, cracking her neck, and held out a hand. A kernel of starlight flared in her palm.
I can use them.
A soft hissing laugh.
Party tricks. I meant your real powers. Your heritage.
Hunt's fingers tightened on his gun. Bryce challenged.
What powers?
Adis's eyes glowed like blue stars.
I remember the last starborn queen, Thea and her powers.
He seemed to shudder.
Your light is her light. I'd recognize that luster anywhere. I'm assuming you have her other gifts as well.
You knew the last starborn queen? Rune asked. Starlight glinted among Rune's shadows, shimmering down the length of his sword. Adis's eyes now flared with a strange sort of rage as he looked upon the Fey Prince.
I did. And I knew the sniveling prince whose light you bear.
A ripple of stunned silence went through the room. Rune, to his credit, didn't back down an inch. But from the corner of Hunt's vision, he noted Ethan and Therian creeping into mirroring positions behind the Prince of the Chasm. Bryce said, more to herself than to the demon prince,
I hadn't realized they'd have individualized starlight. I always thought mine was only brighter than yours.
She frowned at Rune. I guess it makes sense that there could be nuances to the light amongst the Fae that got interbred. Thea's elder daughter Helena had the gift, and married Prince Peleus, your ancestor.
He's your ancestor too, Rune muttered.
Peleus was no true prince,
Ada spat, fangs bared.
He was Thea's high general and appointed himself prince after he forcibly wed Helena.
I'm sorry, Ethan said, scrubbing at his face, but what the fuck is this about? He glanced at the pizza on the table, as if wondering whether it had been spiked with something.
Welcome to our lives, Hunt wanted to say.
But Bryce's face had gone pale.
Queen Thea allowed this? Thea was dead by that point,
Ada said flatly.
Peleus slew her.
He nodded to the star sword in Rune's hand.
And stole her blade when he'd finished.
He snarled.
That sword belongs to Thea's female heir, not the male offspring who corrupted her line.
Bryce swallowed audibly, and Rune gaped at his blade.
I've never heard any of this,
the Fey Prince protested.
Adis laughed coldly. Your celebrated Prince Peleus, the so-called first starborn prince, was an imposter. Thea's other daughter got away, vanished into the night. I never learned of her fate. Peleus used the star sword and the horn to set himself up as a prince, and passed them on to his offspring, the children Helena bore him through rape.
That very horn that was now tattooed into Bryce's back. A chill went down Hunt's spine, and his wings twitched.
Peleus's craven blood runs through both of your veins, Adis said to Rune.
So does Helena's, Rune shot back, then recited, Night-haired Helena, from whose golden skin poured starlight and shadows.
Bryce clicked her tongue, impressed. You memorized that passage? Rune scowled, as if annoyed she'd focus on that when a demon prince was before them. But Bryce asked Adis,
Why are you telling us this now?
Adis shimmered with anger.
Because I was powerless to help then. I arrived too late and was vastly outnumbered. After it was over, that's when I asked my eldest brother for a favor, to face Peleus on the battlefield and wipe him from this world.
Adis paced a few steps, tail swishing.
I tell you this now, Bryce Quinlan, so the past does not repeat itself. Are you doing anything to help in this endless war?
You mean the rebel cause? Therian asked, face taut with disbelief and dread.
Adis didn't take his eyes off Bryce as he said,
It is the same war we fought 15,000 years ago, only renewed. The same war you fought, Hunt Athalar, in a different form. But the time is ripe again to make a push.
Ethan said slowly,
Hell is our enemy.
Is it? Adis laughed, ears twitching. Who wrote the history?
The Asteri, Therian said darkly.
Adis turned approving eyes on him.
You've heard the truth in some form, I take it.
I know that the official history of this world is not necessarily to be believed.
Adis leapt off the counter, trotting to the coffee table again.
The Asteri fed their lies to your ancestors, made the scholars and philosophers write down their version of events under penalty of death, erased Theia from the record. That library your former employer possesses, he said, turning to Bryce, is what remains of the truth, of the world before the Asteri, and the few brave souls who tried to voice that truth afterward. You knew that, Bryce Quinlan, and protected the books for years, yet you have done nothing with that knowledge.
What the fuck? Ethan asked Bryce.
Adis only asked,
What was this world before the Asteri?
Therian said,
Ancient humans and their gods dwelt here. I've heard the ruins of their civilization are deep beneath the sea.
Adis inclined his head.
And where did the Asteri come from? Where did the Fae, or the Shifters, or the Angels come from?
Bryce cut in, enough with the questions. Why not just tell us? What does this have to do with my gifts? She seemed to choke on the word.
The war approaches its crescendo, and your power isn't ready.
Bryce flicked the length of her ponytail over a shoulder.
How fucking cliche. Whatever my other powers are, I want nothing to do with them. Not if they somehow link me to you.
The Asteri will consider that a serious threat, rightly so.
People died so you could have this power. People have been dying in this battle for 15,000 years so we could reach this point. Don't play the reluctant hero now. That is the cliche.
Bryce seemed at a loss for words, so Hunt stepped in.
What about your eldest brother, with his armies? They seem perfectly content to slaughter innocent Midgardians.
Those armies have always been to help you, not to conquer.
The attack on this city last spring suggests otherwise,
Hunt argued.
A mistake, Adis said. The beasts that swept in were pets, animals. Micah opened the doors to their pens. They ran amok as they saw fit. Fortunately, you took control of the situation before our intervention was required, he said, smiling at Bryce.
A lot of people died, Ethan growled. Children died.
And more will soon die in this war, Adis countered coolly. Hell's armies shall strike at your command, Bryce Quinlan. The words dropped like a bomb.
Bullshit, Rune said, face crinkling as he snarled. You're waiting for the right moment when we're all at war with each other, so you'll be able to find a way into this world at last.
Not at all, Adis said. I already know the way into this world. He pointed with a paw to Bryce and inclined his head. Through my lovely Bryce and the horn on her back.
Hunt suppressed a growl at the word my, as all of them looked to her. Her eyes remained fixed on Adis, her lips a thin line. The Prince of the Chasm said,
It's your choice in the end. It has always been your choice.
Bryce shook her head.
Allow me to get this straight. You're here to convince me to rebel against the Asteri in front of all these people? And what, sign up with Ophion? No, thank you.
Adis only chuckled.
You should have looked more carefully at the cats picking through the trash in the alley of Ink Street this morning. Should have picked a more discreet location to discuss the rebellion with Fury Axtar.
Bryce hissed, but said nothing as Adis went on.
But yes, by all means turn rebel. Help Ophion if you need some authority to answer to. I can tell you before you undoubtedly ask. I have no information about the connection between Danica Fendir and Sophie Renast.
Bryce growled.
I don't even know any Ophion rebels.
Adis stretched out his front paws, back arching.
That's not true, Hunt stilled as the demon yawned. There's one right behind you.
Bryce whirled, Hunt with her, lightning poised to strike. Cormac Donnell stood in the doorway, shadows fading from his shoulders.
Hello, Agent Silverbow, Adis crooned, then vanished.
Chapter 16.
I'm sorry, Rune blurted, gaping at the Avalon Prince in the doorway.
You're what? Bryce's gaze darted between her brother and their cousin. Ethan was sniffing delicately toward Cormac, clearly putting together who stood before them.
Agent Silverbow, Therian demanded.
Rune went on.
Does your father know about this? Does my father?
Bryce swapped a glance with her brother. They could use this. Maybe she'd get out of the engagement. Cormac's face darkened with menace.
No, nor will they ever.
Threat rumbled in every word. Bryce might have joined in on the interrogation, had the star on her chest not flared through the fabric of her dress. She clapped a hand over it. Trust Adis to reveal Cormac's secret and then bail. Bryce had a strong feeling that the Prince of the Chasm had also let Cormac through the wards using his unholy power.
Fucking demon.
Cormac bristled as he glared around the room.
What the fuck do you know about Sophie Renast?
Bryce pushed her hand harder against her chest, grinding against her sternum as she countered,
What the fuck do you know about Sophie Renast, Agent Silverbow?
Cormac whirled on her, stalking closer.
Answer me.
Hunt casually stepped into his path. Lightning danced over his wings. Alpha hole to the core, yet it warmed something in her. Therian slumped onto the couch, an arm slung lazily along the back cushions, and peered at his nails. He drawled to Cormac.
And you are?
Shadows ran down Cormac's arms, trailing like smoke from his shoulders. Like Rune's shadows, only darker, more feral somehow. Some small part of her was impressed. The Avalon Prince growled,
Cormac Donnell, I'll ask one more time, Mare. What do you know about Sophie?
Therian crossed an ankle over a knee.
How do you know I'm Mare?
Solas, was Therian riling him for the hell of it?
Because Eureka fish, Cormac spat,
and Therian, gods bless him, lifted an arm to sniff his armpit. Ethan chuckled. Most of Aenir could detect when a mare was in their humanoid form by that scent of water and salt. Not an unpleasant one, but definitely distinct. Hunt and Rune weren't smiling. She had to admit her brother cut a rather imposing figure. Not that she'd ever tell him that. Therian smirked at Cormac.
I'm guessing Sophie is your girlfriend.
Bryce blinked. Cormac let out a snarl that echoed into her bones.
Impressive,
Hunt murmured to Bryce, but she didn't feel like smiling. Cormac had turned on her once again.
You know Sophie.
I don't. Didn't, Bryce said, stepping to Hunt's side. I never heard of her until yesterday, when he came to ask some questions. She shot a look at Therian, who held up his long-fingered hands. But I now have a hell of a lot of my own questions to ask, so can we all just sit down and talk instead of this weird standoff? She shut the apartment door and then claimed a seat at one of the stools by the kitchen counter, kicking off her heels beneath it. Rune slid onto the one at her left, Hunt perched on the one to the right, leaving Cormac standing in the middle of the great room, eyeing all of them. Why do your shadows appear different from Rune's? Bryce asked Cormac.
That's the first thing you want to know,
Hunt muttered. She ignored him.
How do you know Sophie?
Was Cormac's only reply. Bryce rolled her eyes. I already told you, I don't know her. Therian, can you put him out of his misery? Therian crossed his arms and settled into the couch cushions.
I was asked to confirm her death.
Bryce noted that Therian's answer could be interpreted as ensuring a dangerous rebel was dead. Smart male.
And did you?
Cormac's voice had gone low. His body shook, as if he was restraining himself from leaping upon Therian. Embers sparked in his hair. But Hunt leaned back against the counter, elbows on the stone. Lightning snaked along his wings. His face was deathly calm, the embodiment of the Umbra Mortis. A thrill shot through Bryce's veins as Hunt spoke.
You have to realize that you're not getting any other answers, or leaving here alive, without convincing us of some key things.
God's damn, he meant it. Bryce's heart thundered.
So take a breath, Hunt said to the prince. Calm yourself.
The angel smiled, showing all his teeth.
And listen to the lady's advice and sit the fuck down.
Bryce pressed her lips together to keep from smiling. But Cormac? He did indeed take a breath. Another. Bryce glanced at Ethan, but his attention remained on Cormac as the prince breathed, studying his every movement like he was an opponent on the sunball field. Rune, however, met her stare, surprise lighting his features. He said into her head,
I did not see this coming.
Bryce might have replied, but the shadows on Cormac's arms faded, his broad shoulders relaxed. Then he stalked to the dining table and sat. His eyes were clear, calmer. The star on her chest winked out as well, as if reassured that all was well.
Good,
Hunt said in that take-no-shit tone that did funny things to her insides.
First things first. How'd you get in? This place is warded to hell and back. That cat, or not cat, that somehow knew who, what I am.
A glimmer of displeasure in his face hinted that the prince was only leaving that question aside for the moment.
It left a gaping hole in the wards.
Hunt nodded. Like this wasn't a big fucking deal.
And why did you come here at this exact moment?
He'd gone into full-on interrogation mode. How many times had he done this in the 33rd? Cormac pointed to Therian.
Because I believe we're hunting for the same person. Emile Renast. I want to know what you know.
Bryce couldn't stop her low sound of surprise. But Therian's face remained stony. The expression of the River Queen's captain of intelligence. He asked,
Did Pippa Spetsos send you?
Cormac barked a laugh.
No. Pippa is the reason Emile fled the Bodegraven. So who sent you to find Emile?
Hunt asked.
No one,
Cormac said, taking another long breath.
I was sent to this city for another reason, for many reasons. But this matter of finding Emile,
his jaw worked.
Sophie and I were close. I helped her free Emile from Kavala, and before she...
He swallowed.
I made her a promise, not only as one agent to another, but as a friend, to look after Emile. I failed her in every way. I failed her.
Either he's an amazing actor, Rune said into her head, or he was in love with Sophie.
Agreed, Bryce said.
Why did Emile run from Pippa? Therian asked. Cormac ran his hands through his blonde hair.
He was afraid of her. He's wise to be.
Pippa is a fanatic on a fast track to promotion into Ophian command. With so many of our bases recently destroyed, Ophian is nervous enough to start considering her ideas. And I worry they'll soon start following her as well.
There are no lines she and her unit of Lightfall soldiers won't cross.
Did your news over here get wind of that story about the Leopard Massacre a year ago? Bryce couldn't stop her shudder. Ethan said quietly.
Yeah,
Cormac said.
That was Pippa's idea, carried out by Lightfall.
To use those Vanir kids and babies to lure their parents out of their hidden dens and then kill them all. Simply for sport. For the hell of it.
Because they were Vanir and deserved to die. Even the children. She said it was part of cleansing this world. Working their way up to the top, the Asteri, hence the Lightfall name.
Hunt looked to Therian, who nodded gravely. Apparently the captain of intelligence had heard that too. Cormac went on.
Pippa sees Emile as a weapon. The night of the escape, he took down those Imperial Omegas, and she was practically beside herself with excitement. She spooked him with her eagerness to get him onto a battlefield, and he fled on an escape boat before I could convince him that I was there to help. The boy sailed to the nearest port, then stole another boat.
Resourceful kid, Ethan muttered.
Attract him as far as these shores.
Cormac jerked his chin at Therian.
I saw you in the marshes at the abandoned boat. I figured you were on his trail as well. And I watched you find the remains of the Lightfall soldier's body, so you must have at least guessed that Pippa wants Emile for her Lightfall unit. If she catches him, she'll drag him back to Ophian's main base and turn him into a weapon. Into exactly what the Asteri feared when they hunted down the Thunderbirds centuries ago.
His gaze shifted to Hunt.
You asked why I came here at this exact moment. Because when the mayor kept returning here, I figured you lot might be involved somehow. Some of the very people I was sent here to meet. I hoped Emile might even be here.
Again, his jaw tightened.
If you know where Emile is, tell me. He's not safe.
I don't understand, Rune said. You and Pippa are both in Ophian, yet you're trying to find Emile to...
keep him out of Ophian's hands?
Yes.
Won't Ophian be pissed?
Command will never know of my involvement, Cormac said. I have other tasks here to complete. Bryce didn't like the sound of that for one moment. She slid off the stool, taking a step toward the dining table. Her mouth began moving before she could think through her words.
You expect us to trust you about all of this when you were so fucking obsessed with a stupid piece of metal that you wanted to kill my brother?
She flung a hand in the general direction of Rune and the star sword in his grip. Rune grunted with surprise as Cormac retorted,
That was 50 years ago. People change. Priorities change.
But Bryce took one step closer to the dining table, not caring if Cormac deemed it a challenge.
Fae don't change, not you old school losers.
Cormac glanced between her and Rune with palpable disdain.
You Valbaran Fae are such babies.
Did you not learn something of yourself, your destiny, Prince Rune, because of me nipping at your heels?
You put a sword through Dex's gut,
Rune said mildly.
I'd hardly call that nipping.
Therian cut in.
Assuming we buy your story, why would a Fey prince join Ophion?
Cormac said.
I joined because I felt it was right. The details are unnecessary.
Not if you might be working for the Asteri, Bryce said.
You think I'd turn you over to the Asteri?
Cormac laughed, dead and cold.
I wouldn't wish that fate on anyone. The dungeons beneath their crystal palace are darker and deadlier than the pit.
Hunt said icily.
I know. I was there.
Bryce hated the shadows in his eyes. Once she'd do anything to help heal. Do anything to avoid renewing. Team survive at all costs. That was her team. She didn't care if that made her a coward. Cormac went on, ignoring Hunt.
Sophie was an Ophion agent, because the Asteri butchered her family, her human family, and her Thunderbird ancestors. All she wanted was to find her brother. Everything she did was for him.
Therian opened his mouth, but Bryce lifted a hand, cutting him off, as she said to Cormac, Therian came by yesterday to ask about a connection between someone I knew and Sophie. He was being super shady, a glare from Therian at this, so I managed to get some answers out of him. Mainly that he's looking for a meal for the River Queen. Cormac narrowed his stare on Therian.
What does your queen want with the boy?
Therian shrugged. Rune murmured, nothing good, I bet. Therian rumbled a warning growl at Rune, but Bryce continued.
I don't care about the politics. Emile's a kid and lost. I want to find him.
And get answers about Danica knowing Sophie, but that could wait for a moment. She wanted to feel Cormac out first. Indeed, the Avalon prince's eyes softened a bit, with gratitude.
Could be faking that, Rune observed to her.
Could be, but my gut says he isn't,
Bryce replied, before she angled her head and asked Cormac. The Hind's a pretty big deal. She went to all that trouble to kill Sophie just for freeing her brother? Or was it because Sophie's a Thunderbird? Cormac's hands curled into fists at his side.
The Hind went to all that trouble because Sophie, as collateral to make sure the Ophion boat showed up for Emile, had gathered vital intel on the Asteri and made sure Command knew it.
What? Hunt blurted, wings twitching.
What kind of intel?
Therian asked, face darkening. Cormac shook his head.
Sophie was the only person who knew it. She just mentioned to me that it was something big, war-changing, that Ophion would kill to have it, and our enemies would kill to contain it.
Across the room, Ethan was wide-eyed. Had any of his training prepared him for this? Had any of hers? Therian said,
The Asteri probably sent the Hind to kill her before she could tell anyone else.
Cormac grimaced.
Yes, but I suspect the Hind knew Sophie could hold out against torture and decided it was best the information die with her.
He shuddered and said,
They ripped out her nails when she went into Kavala, you know. She told me that they tore out the nails on one hand, and when they asked her for any information, she held out her other hand to them.
He laughed to himself.
One of the guards fainted. Brave female.
Ethan said softly, earning a thankful nod from Cormac that had Bryce wishing she'd said as much herself. Bryce studied her own manicured nails, wondered if she'd be able to hold out if it ever came to that. Cormac again turned to Therian, his face bleak.
Tell me the Hind at least put a bullet in her head before she sent Sophie down to the deep.
I don't know,
Therian said.
Her body wasn't there.
What?
Shadows rippled from Cormac again. Therian went on.
The lead blocks, the chains, were there. But Sophie's body was gone, and the shackles had all been unlocked.
Cormac shot to his feet.
Sophie is alive?
Such raw hope filled his voice.
Was it from genuine love, or hope that the intel she carried lived on?
I don't know, Therian answered.
Then he admitted, but that's why I came to Bryce. She had a friend who knew Sophie years ago. I'm investigating any connections between them. I'm wondering if it might give us hints about Emile's whereabouts. Therian shrugged. I have good reason to believe that a safe meeting place was set up long ago for a scenario like this, and that Emile might be headed there. And Sophie, too, if she's alive.
Would Sophie have passed that vital intel to her brother? Bryce found Hunt giving her a don't-even-think-about-it look.
Cormac said, pacing, Sophie made the drop, at an illegal center where it wouldn't be recorded. I thought that there was a chance she might have survived, but when she didn't contact me.
His eyes narrowed at the mayor.
What else do you know?
I've told you everything, Therian lied, crossing his legs.
Cormac gave a slashing, mocking grin.
And what of Danica Fendir?
Bryce stilled.
What about her? Hunt gave her another look, warning her to keep quiet.
Cormac said,
She and Sophie knew each other. She was the one who set up this safe place, wasn't she?
You don't know any of that for sure,
Hunt said.
I do, Cormac said,
his gaze still on Bryce, on the star in her chest that had begun to glow dimly again.
It's why I agreed to marry Bryce.
Rune needed a moment to process everything. He watched his cousin warily. But Bryce chuckled.
I thought you agreed to marry me because of my winning personality.
Cormac didn't smile.
I agreed to marry you because I needed access to you. And to you, cousin,
he said to Rune. Athalar demanded.
You couldn't just pay a friendly visit.
The Avalon Fae and the Valbaran Fae are not friendly. We are allies, but also rivals. I needed a reason to come here. I needed to come here to find Emile.
It was a blessing from Erd that Ophion wanted me here for another mission, too.
Bryce glowered. Forcing me into marriage seems extreme.
It's the only currency I have. My breathing potential.
Rune snorted. He and his cousin had more in common than he'd realized.
Why do you need access to me? Because you can mind speak, can you not?
It's how you and your friends survived in the Cave of Princes during your ordeal. You fought as if you were of one mind.
You never told my father, but he suspected. I suspected.
It's a rare starborn gift, a skill Ophion needs badly,
Rune said.
What about your cousins, the twins? They can mind speak.
They are not trustworthy. You know that.
Athalar cut in.
Don't let him rope you into whatever this is, Danon. Searching for Emile independently is one thing. If you let him deliver his pitch, you're one step away from working with Ophion. The Asteri won't care whether you agree or reject his ass.
He leveled a look at Cormac.
And let me remind you that Ophion is going up against legions that outrank them in power and size. If one of the Asteri walks onto a battlefield, you're all done.
The power of one Asteri, the holy star glowing within them, could level an entire army. Hunt went on.
And if the Asteri catch wind that Agent Silverbow is trying to recruit Rune, we'll all be taken in for questioning. If we're lucky. If not, we'll be executed.
You didn't seem to have such concerns when you rebelled, fallen angel,
Cormac said.
I learned the hard way,
Hunt said through his teeth. Bryce stepped closer to him, fingers brushing his.
I'd prefer to protect my friends from learning that lesson.
It shouldn't have meant something to Rune, for Athalar to consider him a friend, but it did. Hunt continued.
You're not only insane to tell us this, you're reckless. We could sell you out in a heartbeat.
Therian added, or you're an Asteri mole seeking to entrap us. Cormac drawled,
Trust me, I don't bandy about this information to just anyone.
He sized up Athalar.
You might have made foolish mistakes in the past, Umbra Mortis, but I shall not.
Fuck you.
That one came from Bryce, her voice low and deadly. Rune said to Cormac, hoping to take the temperature down a few degrees.
I'm not going to get involved with you or Ophion. I won't risk it. So don't even ask me to do whatever it is you want me to use my mind stuff for.
He hated that his cousin knew. That Therian was now watching him with a mixture of surprise, awe, and wariness. Cormac laughed bitterly.
You can't risk your friends and family. What about the countless friends and family in Pangaea who are tortured, enslaved, and murdered? I saw you entering this apartment earlier and assumed you were assisting Captain Kedos in looking for Emile. I thought convincing you to help me might be that much easier, but it seems all of you wish to put your own lives before those of others.
Fuck off, Hunt growled.
Did you see what happened here this spring?
Yes, it convinced me of your compassion, he said to Bryce. I saw that you raced to Asphodel Meadows, to the humans.
He glanced at Ethan.
You too.
I thought it meant you'd be sympathetic to their greater plight.
He again addressed Bryce.
That's why I wanted to get near you. You and Danica saved this city. I realized you two were close. I wanted to see if you might have any insights.
I've long suspected that Danica might have arranged the rendezvous spot for Sophie.
He faced Therian. Where do you believe the meet-up point would be?
Nowhere good, Therian muttered. Then he added, you'll get the details when we're good and ready to tell you, Princey. Cormac bristled, flames sparking in his hair again, but Bryce cut in,
how did Danica and Sophie meet?
Apparently, Rune realized, this trumped everything else for his sister.
Cormac shook his head. I'm not sure. But from what Sophie told me, Danica suspected something about the Asteri and needed someone to go in to confirm those suspicions. Sophie was that person.
Bryce's eyes were bright, churning. It didn't bode well. Bryce's brows knit, though.
Danica died 2 years ago.
Sophie had this intel for that long?
No, from what I've gathered. 3 years ago, Danica needed Sophie to go in to get it, but it took Sophie that long to gain access. Danica died before Sophie could ever pass the information to her.
When she finally got it, she decided to use it to manipulate Ophion into upholding their bargain, to go help rescue Emile.
So Danica worked for Ophion? Ethan asked.
The wolf's face was a portrait of shock.
No,
Cormac said. She was connected to them, but didn't report to them. As far as I understood from Sophie, Danica had her own agenda.
Bryce watched Cormac, her head angled to the side. Rune knew that look. Bryce was planning something, had definitely already planned something.
Bryce stepped closer to Cormac. The padding of her bare feet was the only sound. Rune braced himself for whatever was about to come out of her mouth.
For what it's worth, I don't think Adis is in the habit of allowing Asteri loyalists into my apartment.
Adis, Cormac started, face paling.
That cat was the Prince of the Chasm?
Yep, Bryce said.
And I think Adis brought you here as a gift to me.
Athalar blinked at her, but Bryce went on.
Talk all you like about tracking Therian here and wanting to recruit Rune, but don't for 1 minute think that Adis wasn't involved in your being here at the exact moment he told me to learn about my powers.
She crossed her arms. What do you know about the Starborn gifts?
Cormac said nothing.
And Rune found himself saying, half in dread that Bryce was right,
I told you the other night that our cousin here was obsessed enough with the idea of getting the Star Sword, that he learned everything he could about Starborn powers. He's a veritable library of information.
Cormac cut him a glare, but he admitted,
I did spend much of my youth reading about the various gifts.
Her lips curled upward.
Rebel Prince and Bookworm.
Athalar looked at her like she'd lost her mind.
I'll make a deal with you.
Hunt growled his objection, but Rune's mind churned. This was the Bryce he knew, always angling for the advantage.
No interest in helping out of the goodness of your heart, princess, Cormac taunted.
I want out of this marriage, Bryce said smoothly, running a finger over the counter's edge.
Rune pretended not to see Athalar's shudder.
But I know that if I end our engagement too soon, my sire will send along someone who isn't as motivated to work with me.
Truth. So we'll team up with Therian here to find Emile. And I'll even help you find out whatever intel it was that Danica wanted Sophie to learn. But I want this engagement ended when I say it's time. And I want you to teach me about my magic. If not, good luck to you. I'll be sure to point Pippa and her Lightfall unit right in your direction. Hunt smirked. Rune avoided doing the same. Therian just tucked his arms behind his head. Only Ethan seemed surprised, like he'd never seen this side of Bryce.
Fine, Cormac said. But the engagement will only be broken once my work here for Ophion is done. I need the reason to be here in Valbara.
Rune expected Bryce to object, but she seemed to think it over.
We do need the cover to be seen together, she mused.
Otherwise, anyone who knows what a piece of shit you are would wonder why the hell I would stoop to hang with you. It'd be suspicious. Hunt coughed into his shoulder. Rune blurted, Am I the only one here who thinks this is insane? Ethan said, I think we're all dead meat for even talking about this.
But Hunt rubbed his jaw, solemn and weary. We need to talk this over before deciding.
Bryce's hand brushed over his once more. Rune grunted his agreement and said to his cousin,
You've dropped a shit ton of information on us. We need to process.
He gestured toward the door in dismissal. We'll contact you. Cormac didn't move an inch.
I require your blood oath not to say a word of this.
Rune barked a laugh. I'm not making a blood oath. You can trust us. Can we trust you?
If I can trust cowards who like painting their nails while the rest of the world suffers, then you can trust me.
Bryce said wryly,
Going in hard with the charm, Cormac.
Swear a blood oath, and I'll leave.
No, Bryce said with surprising calm. I have a manicure in 10 minutes.
Cormac glowered.
I'll require your answer tomorrow. In the meantime, I am entrusting my life to you.
His eyes slid to Rune's.
Should you wish to hear my pitch, I'll be at the bar on Archer and Ward today. Your services would be greatly valued.
Rune said nothing. The fucker could rot. Cormac's eyes narrowed with cold amusement.
Your father remains unaware of your mind-speaking gifts, doesn't he?
Are you threatening me? Rune snarled. Cormac shrugged,